Well, you had a virtual budget meeting anyway.
Yeah, we had spent my time rather talking about our budget, and had a budget workshop last night with the city manager and the rest of council, and took some input from the different department heads. And it's going to be no surprise. You know, we came through COVID and actually took some hits to our income tax. We actually project a little bit of dip in the previous fiscal year going into the pandemic, and then the last fiscal year probably being about $5 million or so in lost revenue, fortunately, because of Congress's action to pass, and speaking of President Biden, his action to come up with and sign the American Rescue Plan, we're going to be able to use some of those funds to be able to recoup some of the lost revenue that we've had over the past year and make ourselves whole. And that's what's keeping our going to allow us to keep our fund balance just over 30%, which is a good place to be, and does help us with borrowing money for less and taking on projects and saving some costs for the taxpayer. So I think we're in a good shape. We have a budget that isn't all too fancy. You know, we don't do anything much more than what we've done in previous years, but we do have some exciting things that because of some of the funds made available and the financial picture of the city that we're looking to bring back.
I guess some of that money will continue to come in, what, over the next couple of months?
The ARP money?
Yeah.
From
the rescue plan.
Yeah, from the money from the rescue plan is coming in two tranches. In fact, we came to understand last night that money will actually is money that we have to go in and apply for as reimbursement. So there's a whole process. We'll have to assign someone to it. But that is, we're just shy of $32 million. That'll come in two tranches. We have to have it all obligated by the end of the year in 2024, and that money has to be spent by 2026. So it is kind of a little bit more of a longer-term resource that allows us over, you know, the next 5 years to be able to help reposition the city to bounce back from the pandemic. But, you know, and having read the 150 pages of the interim final rule on how all of this can be, how all of those resources can be spent, it does provide some pretty stiff rules, but also some flexibility for municipalities like Jackson on how we can best use it to support the residents and businesses that we have here.
What does the income tax look like, Derek, with the, you know, the workers that previously were working in town that won't pay that 0.5%, and that might just go away. Some of it certainly will.
Yeah. So if we're thinking back to 2019, we had about $9.8 million in income tax revenue coming into the city, and obviously that goes into our general fund and goes into that general fund is large, makes up a large, is made up of the police and fire services, a lot of our public safety officers. So a lot of that income tax goes towards funding the police and firefighters that you see on the street, and when we're not getting that revenue, it makes it very hard for us to keep those officers out on the beat. So that's, in fact, we've had, as you know, going through COVID, had to lay off some of our cadets, some of the officers. This budget actually, because we're able to use some of the ARP funds and fill the gaps from the income tax, restores those officers. I think we're proposing to restore one of the cadets also fund a couple of direct recruits that we'll send directly into the police academy, and actually takes our firefighters up from, I think, a baseline of 20 staff up to 24, I believe. So we are, you know, looking to expand our public safety here in the city. And I think that's important. That's an essential service that we provide to the residents and businesses here. And it's something that certainly has been hurt by the negative impacts of the income tax, with, you know, more people working from home and others that unfortunately have temporarily lost their jobs because of the pandemic.
And then this whole, I guess, the other elephant in the room is this whole water issue.
Yeah, so we're actually proposing, the city manager has put out a proposal, and we're going to be having some upcoming neighborhood meetings on it. It's something that I've insisted upon and want to do over the course of the next month, as council kind of considers some of our biggest needs for the American Rescue Plan resources. But he's put together a quick funding update on how we can use some of those ARP funds, and a large portion of those, because it's emphatically stipulated to in the interim final rule, to use those for water infrastructure, wastewater infrastructure, as well as the operations and stabilization. So we are, the city administration is proposing to use a large chunk of those funds for water improvements and for wastewater improvements at our plants and, you know, at the system across the city. But, you know, because of some of the other rules that have been put in place and changes made to the lead and copper rule, and just the cost of doing business increasing, you know, we're going to likely see some increases to our water and sewer rates. And I think the current proposal right now is 4% to sewer and somewhere around 12% to water. And that's over time. That also helps to pay for just the cost of the system, but also helps to pay for the cost of the, you know, unfunded mandate by the state to replace all of our lead service lines coming into the city over the next 2 decades.
Have you heard much blowback from the public on a water increase?
You know, I think there's always blowback to any increases. I think others understand that it's the cost of doing business and the cost of people in Lansing forcing this upon us. We have, just in the last couple of years, slowed down and kind of taken a moment to pause and taken our time to go through and study what that looks like here in Jackson with actual replacement of some lead service lines. And so what those costs are going to be, and taking that and put that back into the formula of what that's going to mean across the whole system. So we have, you know, back a couple of years ago under a previous city manager, when we were, that administration was proposing to almost increase rates, almost double them, I think. We have done, you know, done our homework, done our studies to see what we can, kind of the bare bones costs are. And I think this is a good plan. And hopefully, with the passage of the American Jobs Plan and some of the other investments in infrastructure that the federal government is looking to make, and you know, there's still a ton of resources at the state from previous stimulus plans that the Republican legislature has yet to appropriate in this CHIP with Governor Whitmer. I want to say there's somewhere around $800-900 million still left up there in their SPAT to get this appropriated, it would be great for them to use some of those funds to make investments in their urban cores. And having put this rule into place in the first place, it would be great for them to use some of those resources that have been previously appropriated from the CARES Act funding that came into the state to put that towards lead service line replacement.
Yeah.
You know, they still have money there because of the partisan bickering that they've engaged in. Now more money is coming through the American Rescue Plan and coming directly to the state as well, that they're trying to figure out how to spend, that it would be great for them to put some of that, put some of those resources back into municipalities, back into fixing lead service lines, and allow communities like us not to have to shoulder the cost on our own.
Is there an actual plan, or are we kind of holding our breath here and seeing what's going to happen?
For the ARP funds?
To replace the lead lines.
Well, we're moving forward with them. So as we do streets, we're continuing to replace lead service lines, and, mm-hmm. and there is a plan for how we'll continue to replace them, and that's factored into the rate increases. In terms of the plan for the ARP funds, I think the administration's put out about 25% of that going to water infrastructure upgrades, 25% going into wastewater upgrades, about a quarter of that going into operations and kind of stabilization of city funds and recoupment of lost revenue during the pandemic, about 20% into other public improvement projects around the city, and 5% into public operations, direct support to citizens, some of the things that activities that we undertook with CARES Act funding. So, I think that's a good start. I think, there are some other things around affordable housing that I'd like to see the city undertake, just because that's a huge problem already right now. And it's going to be a huge problem as we continue to come out of the pandemic and people adjust to post-pandemic life, that the affordable housing need in the city is only going to be exacerbated. So I'd like to see us figure out what we can do there to create some long-term solutions for affordable housing here in the city.
So Memorial Weekend, we'll have fireworks back, right?
Fireworks back. I'm sure there'll be calls and complaints to City Hall, and as any holiday season. But hopefully we have some good weather. I don't know, the weather guru teasing something previous to this segment, but we will have fireworks similar to always, day before, day of, day after, and hope everybody, we're also farmers markets coming back up here shortly. So mm-hmm. We're starting to get some of our events coming back downtown, and I think from what I've heard, people are getting excited about summer, getting out and open, and hopefully more and more people get vaccinated so that we can get back to some degree of normalcy in our daily lives and participate safely in some of these community events.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies. Derek, appreciate the visit.
Thanks, Greg. Have a good one.
Take care.